The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to our brand new podcast all about witching in the 21st century. I am one of your hosts, Wales, of The Friendly Green Witch.
And I'm the other host, Jodie, of Mother Serpentine Tarot.
And together we're the Bell Witches of Leeds. and I wanted to create a podcast because I want to do sort of like a chatty, easygoing, frank, honest conversation between two very different witches and good friends about being a witch, trying to fit it around family life, doing things with the kids, being a professional witch and all that jazz. And Jodie, you're a professional witch, aren't you?
Yeah. And I think one of the sort of motivations behind us starting this is the sofa conversations that we have through the week together. You know, we'll often sort of talk about parenting, campaign, witchcraft, tarot together, so it just seems like a good way of sharing those insights that we also enjoy together.
I'm always going around to an house and sitting on the sofa and drinking a tea and a coffee and whinging <Yeah. laughs> about it.
Yeah, so, and some of the stuff that comes up is, yeah,
there's a lot. There's definitely enough for a podcast series, I think.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell a little bit about, like, what you do then, what kind of witch you are?
Yeah. So I'm Jodie again, and I'm a Gardnerian Wiccan in training. I've been doing my first degree studies for a long time now. I'm quite, I would say that I'm a practitioner above anything else. I'm very much into finding out all the info, but practicing everything. You know, some witches know all the info. I'm the doer, which can bring chaotic results, obviously. But I'm also a tarot reader, professional tarot reader, within Leeds, and I am literally obsessed with it.
You go out there and you meet people and you read and you do lots of different events and you're just so busy.
I don't know another reader that does it in that way. So I know there's a lot of professional readers, but they tend to be authors or work in bookshops or coffee shops as well, where for me I just do events, like I'm just out reading for people, which is, you know, again, like I like to be out doing stuff, and it's the same with my craft. I like to practice it. I do like studying as well. I'm quite, if I find, say, a ritual, I want to go back to the source and find out where every element of that came from.
Like a witchy sponge.
Sponge, so I'm very into like meditation and healing work, and love Crowley and but more than anything, just love nature and exploring my own psyche and my own connection with deity, but also with myself.
And you,
what about you?
I'm going to say you like to fling bones around as well, which I quite like.
Oh, yeah. About that. Yeah,
fling the bones around. And I think I'm a very different type of witch to you, because I'm very much a solitary witch. And I do a lot of sort of rent a coven type stuff. So I do a lot of moon circles and pay to join a coven for a ritual on a Sabbath. But I'm very much about tarot card reading for me and all to work for me, and that's enough at the moment because kids are needy and I don't have much time around bringing me two little bozos up.
Yeah, and that's like one of the things, isn't it? It's like we were on about this last week, weren't we? It's like how difficult it is to feel like you're being a good enough witch and a good enough mother at the same time, because you know, there are Esbats every month and Sabbats pretty much, you know, like 8 times a year if you celebrate the bare minimum.
Such party animals, pagans, like proper party animals.
Yeah, but it can be a lot, right? Like when you want to add in like sort of daily rituals, or you know, remembering to put a jar out when there's a thunderstorm. Like if you've got a kid that's scared of the thunder, then you know, you've got to prioritize, haven't you? Yeah,
you have. Yeah, and I have all my stuff's in the bedroom, so like my sacred place is the bedroom, and the kids know not to touch my altar. But every so often there'll be just like a dinosaur rock up on it, and they'll be like, "What the fuck is this?"
I don't have a sacred place. My house is just a shit tip at the minute.
Kids just free roam.
My altar's more of a shrine. I do have witchy bits throughout the house and like little shrines, like I don't know if you ever noticed, like in the kitchen cupboards, like when you open my cupboards, I have like posters of like the elementals and
I don't rope through like your that. Cupboards, Jordan.
It's in my tea cupboard. You've really been in my tea cupboard before.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I've definitely been in your tea cupboard.
Yeah, but I think sometimes, like if you can't have the perfect altar or what have you, then yeah, just having like little bits and bats around your house so that you're reminding yourself of your intention and your lifestyle throughout the day is nice.
Yeah, I think people think if you don't do magic every day or every week or even every month, are you even a witch if you don't do tarot or magic every month? The answer is yes, of course you are. It's just you've got other things going on, and that's okay, because it's designed to go slot in our life whenever it can make us happy.
Yeah, because there's different kinds of witches, aren't there, as well? Like there are people that, because for me, I do see it as like I like practicing, but it's also about my belief system of how the universe works. And I think for some people, they don't practice anything at all, but they have that belief system in, you know, how the world and how deity operate and exist. And then obviously you have people that want to use that. And yeah. The Bell Witch Project was the love child of us and our chosen family, really. We began as parents sort of collecting bell tents between us. I think you got a bell tent and then I got one, and then Emma got one, other Emma, and we began going camping together around different witchy camps and festivals, just really seeking that community. But because we were going camping in our bell tents, we decided to call ourselves the Bell Witch Project.
Because they do look really good together, don't they? Like a little village of bell tents. I mean, mine's quite tidgy. It's only a 3 metre basic one, but we're all squished in there and it's nice and warm.
Yeah. That's just like our summers, though, isn't it? It's like going around all the different camps. And I think it's been really, really lovely doing that, because it's something that anybody can do with children. And, you know, the children love it. They're like just being completely wild and free.
Digging for worms in the dirt.
Yeah. They did that for ages, didn't they?
They did. Oh, it was gross. My youngest, Clem, is just such, she's such a grubby kid. And she loves getting right there and muck and bringing home fairy portions of sludge.
But yeah, but it means that we get time to do things that feel sacred and special for us while also having family time. So it's that perfect combination of magic and parenthood, isn't it? It's like you feel like you're doing it all to the next level when you're at camp, don't you? Because the kids are wild, free and happy and having quality time. And we're like walking labyrinths and dancing around fires and doing spells and rituals and enjoying sacred monuments and, yeah.
Lovely community.
Yeah.
And the kids, all the kids tend to hang out and be feral together. So that's nice. And I can walk around with boobs out.
I really like doing the like witchy crafts that we do as well. Like at one of the camps that we actually run, which is a private one. We made like witches' ladders this year. Do you remember? And we were like spinning the wool ourselves. So like all the children got to spin their own wool, and they went on like a foraging walk to find things to tie into their witches' ladders. And they made those charms, didn't they, out of elder tree? Was it elder or alder? I always forget.
Elder, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It was good. It's good memories. We had a good summer last year. And we just can't wait for this summer to come, this camping season. Yeah. Counting down the days.
Yeah.
Like, come on, hot Sabbaths, get here, let's party.
The first one will be cold.
I know, yeah.
The first one is one that, so it's in May, it's a Beltane celebration. And I've camped there in May before, and I'm bald, so my head was freezing. There's nothing like the brisk outdoor air on, you know, like 3 a.m. on a bald head, honestly. Even a millimetre of air makes a difference.
Around a fire, a roaring fire, you've just got cold patches everywhere.
Oh my God, yeah.
People come out beating the drums and dancing around, and oh, it's electric, I love it.
And there's the green man and dressing as Krampus and all sorts, yeah.
It is bizarre, it's bizarre, and oh, I love it, my kind of people. I remember making this giant cock out of hay and straw.
Oh, yeah.
Well, setting it on fire.
Yeah. So at one of the festivals, you make, it's a statue of John Barleycorn. It's an effigy to get burned in July, so in honour of the summer. And John Barleycorn was about 10, 11, 12 feet high.
Yeah, massive. Yeah.
The Willy Maidens, the Willy is meant to be as big as, it's only meant to be as tall as the shortest woman making it.
It was massive.
But it was about 16 foot and it was sending hot rocks off that was setting people's on fire.
Yeah. Like hot balls of sperm into the sky falling on the
Christ tent up, didn't it?
I know, yeah.
His tent was just completely gone, yeah.
A little bit scary, a little bit fun.
It set my Eartha's hair on fire, actually, did that. She was dancing around the fire and a hot rock landed on her hair. Luckily, her friend had enough sense to pat it out for her.
Well, massive though, wasn't it? The fire, it was absolutely huge.
The fire or the willy?
Like, the whole thing, like the fire, I remember sort of doing the dance around it and it being so hot and being like, fuck, I'm going to get burnt here. Got to come back a bit.
Yeah. I loved the fire labyrinth that they had at that one.
And I could walk around naked and nobody cared.
Yeah.
But running around in the rain, so good in the morning.
Yeah.
It was definitely the highlight last year.
That's funny, isn't it? So, like, you're like just the ultimate festival nudist, and I'm just so conservative. I'm there in like three jumpers and a poncho, just trying to stay warm. And then there's you, like, monkey lady element, like just stack bottle cake in the rain.
Oh, it's great. But, and it's often my littlest hand would just like come up and like cut my boob. Oh my god, mummy's boobs are out. What's that about? That was the best.
You make me feel like a prude.
Nah, go on now.
I just think like
Skyclad.
You always think you're a prude, but then like actually, like once you've been in a tent, I think this is some of the festivals that we go to are like obviously clothing optional, and one of the things that I always say, because my family are always a bit like, that's quite strange, Jodie. They're a bit sort of put off by it and they're a bit concerned that we're there. But we always say, no, the stance there is, you know, that when you see a monkey, it's naked. And that nudity is natural and freeing and, you know, not inherently sexual. And I remember at first sort of walking in and people being naked and being a bit like, oh God. But then you go in like a shop and there's like a shopkeeper wearing nothing but a fanny pack and you're just like, okay, this is happening.
It's great.
And then you
I
fine
love
with it.
it. So good. So freeing. Brilliant.
Anyway, I wish that were me. It's very liberating.
It could be.
But I like to stay dressed. I like to just stay dressed.
You like to just stay dressed.
Maybe this year.
Just start slowly, like lose one every so often. Lose an item of clothing.
In like 10 years, I'll be naked.
The most slowest game of strip poker in the world.
I was thinking like at a lot of the witchy festivals, people do seem like they seem like they're LARPing, don't they? Like they, and I always think they kind of look like you know, in like video games when you get like a non-player character, and it's always like someone to like sell you a potion or something. The people that you see at witchy festivals all look like they're about to sell you some sort of potion or send you on a quest or
send you on a quest.
They do, don't they? They look like an on-player character that's going to send you on a quest.
I think of you know that one from 90s, what was it, that game where they put a helmet on with the horns? What was it? Nightmare, was it?
Horns.
Do you remember Nightmare? And it was
No.
like a virtual reality game where you used to walk around. You couldn't see anything because you had this big helmet on. The teammates would have to tell you where to go. You'd end up dropping down a hole, a pretend hole in the floor, you know, that were just like a computerized climb.
Because I remember like Tekken and playing Space Invaders and Sonic, and that's like it.
Sonic.
Sonic.
How is Sonic coming into a witch podcast?
Just saying, 1990s, yeah. That's what I remember. In fact, from the 2000s, I remember getting a game of, do you remember the Cottingley Fairies?
No.
This is like, I was obsessed with fairies when I was little. There were these two girls, really, really local to us, just in Cottingley Beck, and they did, it was proven to be a hoax eventually, but they managed to just stun the world with these
Oh, I
photos
know
of
the story, yeah.
yeah, but it turned out that one of the girls had actually drawn them like props, and you know, the photography. So it was essentially like the 1800 or 1900s version of Photoshop. But there was a computer game. It was literally on like on a disc in the 2000s, and I used to play that all the time. And it had like Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and like all these, like, yeah.
Random. So you just debunk fairies right there.
It was such a good game. Yeah. I was obsessed with fairies when I was little.
Not, are you into
Must have
fairies now or?
I love fairies. I absolutely love them. There's just something about, it's one of those things where no matter how irrational it is, I wholeheartedly believe in it. So there are things that like I sort of use that I question, you know, like astrology or acupuncture or homeopathy. I'm kind of like I know about it, but I don't fully trust it, like don't fully believe in it. I'm just open-minded and then use it, if that makes sense. Where with fairies, I'm like, no, they are absolutely real, and I believe in them as much as I believe in people.
Wow. I don't think I knew
Yeah.
that. So you do fairy magic and all that.
No, I just sort of leave them to their own devices. Apparently, they can be quite dangerous if you choose to work with them, so I just sort of leave them be. I did have a lady message me actually in my line of work, because obviously I do tarot, and people know that I do witchcraft. People ask me for advice with a lot of random things, and I had a lady who began leaving honey out for the fairies in her garden. Then, when it began raining, and I think she just didn't want to get her nice dish wet, brought the honey into the porch, and she felt that she'd accidentally invited the fairies into her
No.
house and had a fairy infestation, essentially. And she was like,
That's
"Everything's going missing. I can't live like this anymore. What can I do? How can I get them out?" And I was completely and utterly stumped.
I mean, how do you
Yeah.
get fairies out your house? No idea.
I have
Must
no
be
idea either.
quite a hard thing to do without
Yeah.
pissing them off even more. They're already
Yeah.
pissed off.
Well, she'd invited them in, hadn't she, as well? So I guess it's quite risky business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to wait. The old washing machine was still plumbed in. Eartha's brownies badge went missing when we plumbed the new washing machine in after weeks, opened the drum. So the brownies badge had come in the house after this washing machine had been brought in and, like, with the drum pushed against the wall. And when we plumbed it in, it had the brownies badge in the drum of the new washer, and there's just no way it could have got in there. I mean, they're meant to be watertight.
Yeah.
So we were like, eh. I think you said it could have been like a glitch in the matrix,
Glitching
but
the matrix.
the irony of her going to brownies and brownies liking stealing stuff was not lost on me.
Bonkers. Just
Yeah.
how?
That is, yeah, like it was literally like the drum was pushed up against the radiator. So, like, there's no way that it could have got in there. So, maybe it was the brownies. Maybe it was a glitch in the matrix.
Bit of
Yeah.
both. Glitching
A glitch
the brownies
the brownies.
could
A
be
brownie in
a
the matrix.
really interesting film, that, couldn't it? A brownie matrix.
What is the thing that you don't care how ridiculous it is, you won't stop believing in it?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it?
You know, something that, like, no matter how many articles say this thing is absolutely not real, you're just like, I still believe in it anyway.
I think the mandala theory is a bit like that, isn't it?
The what?
You know,
Oh, the Mandela theory, yeah.
the Mandela theory, yeah, mandala theory.
Yeah.
You know, all the scientists are like, "Oh no, it's just the human condition of the mind." And I'm like, "Yeah, but
Yeah.
why is it so many of the same memory though? But why?"
Yeah.
Some of it I do get. Yeah, that's just like, it should be this and it's not, because if it were this, it'd be so good. But then other ones, it's just like, no, it definitely was like that. Definitely was. In fact, I
Yeah.
discovered it recently and I'm just so interested in it.
Do you want to tell people what it is? For
So it's
anyone that
like,
doesn't.
yeah, sure. So it's like a common memory from the past that everybody has, but that's never been. A really good one is the Fruit of the Loom logo. So when you think of that logo, what do you see?
The basket of the fruit in it, like the
The
horn-shaped
basket.
basket.
Yeah. Well, there's a haunt, I forget what it's called. It's a witchy thing, isn't it? But all it is just fruit. Like there's no plate and there's no basket, it's just fruit.
Or Pikachu having a black tail. That one, like, I remember Pikachu having a black tail.
Yeah, and he never has. But I mean, I went ever into Pikachu, so I don't really gel with that one. But like Britney Spears with a microphone, you know, the red suit and a microphone. She never had
That was
a
definitely a th
microphone.
that's
I
so
know
weird.
it is, because when you do fancy dress of Britney Spears, she's always got a red suit and a black microphone. And they sell
Yeah.
these costumes, and she's in the video, there's no microphone. I
Yeah,
swear to
it's
God, there
mad, isn't
used to be. But I mean, the theory is with that big scientific, what to call it, that smashes atoms together, has moved us ever so slightly onto another timeline where the history is a little bit different. And I love
thing
that.
That smashes thing that smashes the atoms together.
Yeah, you know, that is a right big machine that is like a big, I'm not a scientist, but it's like in Switzerland or something, and they were trying to recreate a big bang, so they smashed these atoms together, and everybody's like, shit, and it was like 2015 or something, and I think that's when it started, this phenomenon. But I think when you look into it, there's loads
of weird, yeah.
But I've just had a warning that my thing's going to go off the recording.
Should we say goodbye then?
Yeah, we can do, yeah. I mean, yeah. How did you like it? Was it all right?
Yeah, it seems like it's been nice. We'll have to hear once it's that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll try and get people in to talk about different aspects of witching to keep it entertaining. And
shared crafts and things that you can do at home yourself or with your kid.
Tools that you may need or may not need or just want, because the dead prey, common witch problems, and just as life progresses, we'll probably just whinge about it.
Yeah. We could let people submit questions for us to answer in the next episode if they wanted to.
Oh, yeah, you can find us on Instagram. I'm the Friendly Green Witch and your mother's Serpentine on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, you know, feel free to slide into our DMs and ask us any questions and we'll put it in the podcast. We're brand new to this. We're not professionals on the whole podcast thing. So if it sounds shy, I'm sorry, but we will get better. Thank you for this, Jodie.
Thank you. And I shall
look forward to hearing it when I've made a dog's bollocks of it, putting it together. Bye.